Our gospel reading today that is chronicled in the book of John is one that could certainly speak to our daily lives. The challenges that we face as individuals and families are just good old things that we call problems. Problems, problems. We all know about them, don't we? We all have them or face them. They're called in the reading that we shared this morning, they were called that those who gathered had many illnesses. But you know, we could just as easily say they had many problems. You know, I'm grateful that the writer John here doesn't say exactly what the illness or the problem was that the man faced who had been ill for 38 years. In some translations, the New International Version, the writer translated that he was an invalid. I had to look that word up. We hear those words and they're familiar to us. How grotesque that word sounds on the surface, right? Invalid. Invalid in the dictionary tells us that it's one who is in need of the services or help or assistance of others. They can't make it alone. Their problems are too big for themselves. Well, you know, friends, I guess if we think about it, as we journey through this life at some point, we're all going to find ourselves in states of being invalid, right? Invalid. Rather than being grotesque, may be exactly what we find when we try to go it alone. We are incapable. We are invalid of making it through this world, through our illnesses, and yes, through our problems with our own strength. That was the state of the man that had been ill for 38 years when Jesus asked him this question, "Do you want to be well?" You know, I'm intrigued by the response of the sick man. Because instead of answering Jesus' question direct, he starts rattling off excuses of why he can't be well. Or how unfair it was. You know, he says, "I can't move. I can't get up and go. Well, when the water is stirred by the angels and it's time that a miracle can occur, well, someone else gets there before me." I'm sure he could have followed it by saying, "Life just isn't fair. It hasn't been fair to me. I seem to have more problems than anyone else." You know, it's tempting for us all to feel that way at times, isn't it? Noah and I have been going through the Lord of the Rings trilogy this past week. Isn't that cool when these movies that it takes years for them to come out, you can knock them all out in just 1 week? Some of you do that with television series, I understand, these day and times, with Netflix. You go on a Netflix stalk and cover it a whole series in 1 weekend, right? Well, in The Lord of the Rings, on one of the series, the prequels known as The Hobbits, there was this corrupt assistant to the throne of the king who was a coward and corrupt and conniving. And at one time when the country of Rohan was in devastation and about to be overtaxed, and everyone was dealing with the problems, you know what the assistant said, the corrupt and evil one said? He said, "Why does it always happen to me?" He was so consumed with himself, his own problems, that he thought he was the only one who had problems of that magnitude. It's tempting, isn't it? For us to get so centered on the problem as the man dealing with the illness this morning. He was so wrapped up in the problem, hear me now, friends, that it was hard for him to see the solution. Jody's getting an earful on that one. It speaks to me. Sometimes I wallow in the problems, the peril so much that I fail to see the solution before me. I, like the man when asked by Jesus, can't get to the answer because I'm still wrestling with the questions. I can't do it. It's not fair. I've been mistreated. Whatever the problem is, we can all insert our question, can't we? So to help us wrestle with the answer this morning, I want us to reflect a bit as well today on one who gave us a great example in Scripture of how to deal with problems. Now last week you'll remember, some of you who worshiped with us, that I spoke on the acronym titled PROOF. And I spoke of how in Peter's life of faith, God affirmed him and gave him reassurance for his call to ministry and how to serve the world. Listen to that sermon online if you get a chance, if you haven't. It was a good one. Can you say good one in this pulpit? I got so carried away with that acronym, I decided we'd just do another Sunday of acronyms. What about that? So today, in our Old Testament reflection, I want to focus on five P's. I don't guess that's specifically an acronym, but in the life and ministry of Nehemiah, some of us have shared this discussion a bit in our Bible study. Lynn and I were talking this week, and we were discussing this. I said, you know, I've not talked about this Nehemiah plan for dealing with problems in the sermon. It probably is about time, and today is the time. So Nehemiah gives us in his passage of Scripture a biblical and a faithful response of how to deal with the problems that we find presented in our text in John this morning for the man who'd been suffering with his problems for 38 years. In Nehemiah chapter 1, it says, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Shilev, in the 12th year, he says, while I was serving in Susa in the capital, he was in a foreign country, okay? He was in Babylon. They'd been taken away in bondage. And Nehemiah says to us that some of my brothers, whether he was talking about earthly brothers or spiritual brothers, paternal brothers, our brothers in the faith. He said, my brothers came to me and I asked them about the Jews, my family and friend, my people of my homeland who were still in Jerusalem. How they had survived the captivity and escape. And this was their reply. They said this to me, the survivors there in the province who escaped captivity are in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been destroyed by fire. And Nehemiah said this, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. And mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah heard the problem of his people. Of, let's be honest, of his family. Of those he cared for most of all, those who he had been entrusted to minister for, the family and friends who were back home. Home is where family is, right? I heard someone, I was reading an author just recently who said, home is the place where they have to take you in when no one else will take you in. That is where our writer was hurting for this morning. Home, family. And his response to the problem was the human response. It's surface. It's just as we would respond. Nehemiah said, I was filled with grief. I wept. I mourned. And such is the proper response, my friend, for problems facing our families and those we love. Yes, we should grieve and lament for a season. But you see, the important thing in Nehemiah's story is he did not wallow in that grief forever. He didn't sit there on the portico for 38 years like the man that Jesus was ministering to, making excuses of why he couldn't be sustained, instead of listening so much to the questions. Nehemiah looked for the answer. After his season of lamenting, hear with me what Nehemiah also did. He began a season of fasting and prayer. You see the difference? Nehemiah, when faced with the first P, the problem, he responded with the second P, prayer. He knew in whom to turn for the solution, for the problems, for the illness, for the peril his marriage, his family, his life, his work faced. Friends, the answer is same for us today. It's not cliche. It's not me saying to you as your pastor what I think I should say as your pastor. It's a person who's been broken. It's a man who's faced his own problems. It's a man who's tried to go it alone and found himself face down in his own brokenness, and he could only reach up, me being the reacher, Jody, and say, God, it's your grace. It's only you who can sustain me, who can overcome this problem that's bigger than me. That was the spirit of Nehemiah in our text. And he continues. He goes through an eloquent prayer. Read that sometime when you get a chance. The remainder of chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, we pick up and we're told that Nehemiah was the cupbearer of the king, a high official role. The cupbearer had to be one with high integrity, one who could be trusted in that time where there was much corruption and betrayal. They had to have people they trusted to serve their food, their drink. What better way to take out a king than through poisoning? So the cupbearer was not simply a servant, but a trusted confidant, advisor, and person often of affection. So here is the role of the cupbearer, and Nehemiah, the one in bondage in the foreign land, is before the king that he is serving. And this is where our passage picks up in Nehemiah 2. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, when wine was served him, I carried the wine and I gave it to him. Now, here Nehemiah said, I had never been sad. Remember, he's grieving. I had never been sad in the presence of the king before, so he asked me. The king inquired of Nehemiah, why is your face sad since you've not sick? I know you're not sick, the king says. Why is your face sad? This can only be sadness of heart, the king states. Then I was very much afraid, Nehemiah said. Doesn't that sound familiar? Not only was Nehemiah grieved at the problem of his homeland, but he was also afraid of how to face the problem. Wow. In our sadness, in our grief, it does not mean, friends, we are less faithful. We, like the Spirit of Nehemiah, are children of God. But it's what we do in our sadness and our fear that sets us apart as faithful followers in the spirit of Nehemiah. Because Nehemiah, even in his fear, he spoke up to the king. And this is what he said. May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place that I love, my ancestors, my family, why that land lies in waste and its gates have been destroyed by fire. The king asked him, as he practiced this third P, you see, Nehemiah, as he faced with the problem, he prayed, he presented the problem to the authority. And the king asked Nehemiah, here's what he said, what do you request? Wow. He presented the problem to God. And then when the time came, he presented it to another who could also help. Scripture tells us that Nehemiah prayed again to God, asking for what he should say. And this is what he proclaimed. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor with you, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my ancestors, to the graves, to my friends, to my family. Will you send me so that I may do what? So that I may rebuild it. And he goes on in that passage and he asks for specific things that he needs. The timber, the rock, the resources to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You see, the important thing that I find in this lesson too is that not only did Nehemiah pray, Nehemiah, yes, presented that plan before God for his revelation. And Nehemiah presented it to the authority. But most of all, Nehemiah was given a plan from God. You see, friends, we're going to be faced with problems, perils bigger than us. Illnesses, whether they be in our family or in our body, that we cannot overcome, that make us invalids, that make us invalid of going it alone. But if we in the spirit of Nehemiah pray, if we in the spirit of Nehemiah present it to those who can be a resource to us, then God will offer us the plan for deliverance. I believe that. I've experienced it and I lived it. If we simply, friends, and look, I'm not beating us up. I'm not minimizing our pain, our problems, our peril. Certainly there should be a season of grief and lament in our life, but at some point in the problem, we've got to get beyond the question and look to the answer. The answer being through prayer. The answer being God's gift to us. Nehemiah goes on and he puts that plan into practice. And I'd like to tell you that when Nehemiah put it into practice, it was a happily ever after and everything went easy and wonderful from then on. But it wasn't the case. It was a challenge throughout as he sought to rebuild his homeland. It tells us as we read on through Nehemiah that as the workers were working on the wall with one hand, guess what they were doing with the other? They were holding a spear to protect themselves with the other. Now we think about challenges in the workplace. We hadn't had that to face yet, have we? It was not easy. Even after he prayed. Friends, it was not easy even after he invited God into his problem. But with God's help, and God's strength. He endured, putting the 5P, the plan, into practice, and delivered his people and built the wall in record time. See, I want to end this sermon today by really inviting you. And some of our friends in faith, they have a portion of the church known as an invitation, where people are invited to begin their journey with Christ. We don't always share an invitation formally in our worship service. In the Presbyterian tradition, people ask me, well, how does a person become a Christian? Most often we visit with those individuals individually. Outside of worship, you're always invited to begin your journey with Jesus Christ and grow in that journey as a part of this church. But most of all today, I think it would be appropriate in this passage that we remember that it begins the answer to all of our problems in relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, that's what I think the invalid found in the New Testament today. That's what I think the man who'd been suffering for 38 years, when it says later in that passage that he did not know who Jesus was. It was in finding Jesus that he found restoration. So I say to you today, friends, if you've never met Jesus, then why not begin that journey today? Or maybe you feel like you have met Jesus at some point along your life, and somewhere the relationship was broken. You drifted away or turned in another direction. You wonder if Jesus could still love and forgive you. And friends, I speak as one with experience and overwhelmingly affirm you with a yes. So I invite you, as we close this sermon, to pray with me, beginning or renewing your friendship with our Savior. Let's pray. Oh God, we bow in your presence, understanding that we all are like the man in John's gospel, faced with problems and peril and illnesses bigger than us. Our life is filled with problems that we cannot face and we cannot overcome, and our sin is too large for us to live. Sin destroys. And we all are broken. We admit, O God, our need for deliverance. And as we admit our brokenness, like the man who suffered his illness for 38 years, we believe, O God, in his spirit, that Jesus is your Son, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the answer to all of our life's problems. It begins with him. So God, we close by confessing him. Confessing him as the Lord of our life. Asking him to come in and save us from our sins and set us on a path to healing and wholeness that will last forever. We entrust our lives to you, God. Will you be our Lord and Savior? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time and you're just beginning your journey with Jesus, let me say it doesn't end there. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you're a part of this church, then reach out to me. Let's go through the journey process of you growing in grace and becoming a minister and member of this church, of this body. If you're listening by technology today to this sermon and on the internet, I invite you to reach out to your pastor or find a good church family where you live and grow in the grace, life, and love of Jesus. Amen.